Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, brother and sisters. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord we can be together again to share the goodness of the Lord and the power and the truth of His Word. A few days ago, we began a message I've entitled Bible Principles to Change Your Circumstances, and we looked at a very important one yesterday, and that is not just an intellectual, but a personal experience and realization of God's love for you. And let me just say, if any time you miss a broadcast or want to re-listen to one that has aired, just go to our website, unveilchrist.org, and you can click on the broadcast and listen anytime at your convenience. But today, we want to deal with another principle, which I should warn you in advance is somewhat uncomfortable. Why? Because we want to look at perhaps areas in our lives that are difficult. How can we seek, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to change the things that bring us grief or that we want to see, that we know God has a better plan for us? And so we have to identify what those conditions are. And we have to, if you can hear this, begin to disengage yourself from those things which have brought you to your present condition. If, for example, your life is full of turmoil, what is that turmoil? How would you describe it simply? Or if it's full of confusion, what is that confusion? Or perhaps there can be bitterness, unforgiveness, or hate, and you know, your life could be filled with repressed anger and suppressed violence. And if these are really your inner conditions, you cannot expect to grow in the things of God until you willfully, prayerfully, and deliberately disengage yourself from those things. Okay, Sister Glasser, how do you go about doing that? Well, the first thing, and this tends to be very painful. There's not a single human being that this will not be painful for. Because, you know, I don't know where it says it in the Word, but every man is right in his own eyes, right? We have marvelous ways of excusing ourselves and justifying ourselves and making ourselves convinced that the way we think, the way we perceive, the way we operate, the way we conduct ourselves really is, you know, pretty good. We're basically pretty good people. Well, it's the Word of God that reveals our real, true situation. And so how do we begin to really make progress spiritually in our lives is, first of all, we have to be honest with ourselves. And trust me, it will hurt. Remember that no surgery is pleasant, obviously. Who looks forward to a surgery? But once that surgery has been accomplished, a healing process has begun, you can be very glad it was done. And we're, of course, talking about that spiritual surgery that the Lord does upon us. He's the great physician. He doesn't want us hurting. He wants to quickly, as quickly as He can, deliver us and heal us. He does not willingly afflict the sons of men. That's what Jeremiah says. And many times, while He's not the author of sickness and death and horrible situations, many times things are allowed to come in our lives so that it will get our attention. For example, that's exactly what happened to the prodigal son. It took him finally coming into a pig pen to make him realize how good he did have it at one point in time, and he recognized the errors of his life. He said, I'm no longer willing to be called your son, Father. But the Father opened to him with love and forgiveness and open arms. And so being honest about and with yourself is the very first step. You have to be willing to see where you stand. what you are, who you are, and just how much you have helped to create your present circumstances. And beloved, this is the opposite mindset of today's world and culture. We are entitled. Everything is everybody else's fault. There's all kinds of reasons why you can be the way you didn't have this when you were brought up. You had that or didn't have that in your childhood. And those may be true things, but basically, there's no excuse, there's no reasonable or spiritual cause to remain in that place. Yes, we, and by fact, some of the most precious saints of God have had sometimes the most difficult backgrounds and experiences. And it is God who gets the glory when there is a work of healing and deliverance done. I mean, some people can be so ego-oriented, self-centered, self-deceived, that they would almost rather do anything than admit they were wrong. We, beloved, need to take responsibility where responsibility is due, and many times we are the ones that are at fault. And when we're willing to allow the Spirit of Truth to deal with our hearts, then we can begin to see real change. And sometimes some Christians, even if they admit they're wrong, they do so in such a manner they save face before others and come out of it feeling very proud that they've admitted they were wrong. But beloved, and it's complicated to talk about these kinds of things, I just pray the Spirit of the Lord will give you understanding and revelation. But what I'm talking about is a willingness to humble yourselves, to be contrite, to admit that you're wrong or you failed. And, you know, I've had to come to do that myself. And I found, you know, to say, I'm wrong. Forgive me. I'm sorry. Now, sometimes, and how you say it depends on the gravity of the situation. You could say, oh, I was wrong about the time. You can say it lightly. But just to say, I'm wrong, it's a very helpful thing. Or if you've deeply hurt someone, you can say, I'm so sorry. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? And it's conveyed by your tone and your body matter and your everything about your expression. And that's why sometimes we have so little of it, because everything's in a virtual world. I declare everybody wants to text. There's so little in face-to-face relationship. There's greater communication that occurs when we can speak face-to-face. That's why the Lord wants you to draw you aside into a secret place where you can experience His goodness. And, you know, until we're able to break this cycle that is of self-justification, there will be no true spiritual progress. You know, it's not that you've wanted to be that way or intended to be that way, but sometimes we just don't see. You know, that's why Jesus said, take the beam out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the mote out of your brother's. And we're all blinded to the things that God can so clearly see in our lives, but He's so patient and so long-suffering. And so that second step is we must be willing to examine ourselves regarding our lives. Is your life open to the Lord? Are you honest in your self-evaluation? You can't change your circumstances until you know exactly where you stand. And you know, sometimes people are plagued with guilt feelings because they've been tempted. Well, it's not a sin to be tempted. Even if they didn't yield to the temptation, nevertheless, they live with feelings of shame, remorse, distress. They feel guilt-ridden from the time they wake up until they go to sleep. You know, they feel they just got a guilty conscience. They don't know what they did, but they just feel that way. They can't accept the idea that God loves them, and if they would ask Him for forgiveness, that He would forgive them. And beloved, what's going on in this situation? Well, the devil has tricked more people into fearing God won't forgive them, because he's the accuser of their brethren. The Holy Spirit doesn't bring condemnation; He brings conviction. And so, you know, so often people are just caught in this trap of feeling they've done something so bad, God really won't forgive them. And then the devil's attempt to just out and out cause them to leave God altogether. You know, he knows the psyche. He knows the composition of man mentally, emotionally. He is a very a very ardent, a very clever foe, but not foe enough, not strong enough to stand up against the Spirit of God. And thank God for that victory that Jesus wrought. He went in down into hell, and he declared, you know, he led captivity captive, and he declared to the hosts of the enemy that he was victorious, to their great consternation and everlasting shame and defeat. Hallelujah. And so in your honesty, you're going to have just to admit to yourself where what your issues are. You have to also admit your problems. You know, a good many Christians are willing to see and point out the faults in family members, in friends, in spouses, in other brothers and sisters in Christ. Their pastor, we tend to be pretty good at that, right? The choir director, the prayer leader. Beloved, I get prayer, you know, won't you pray for my Bible study or for, you know, the worship team? There's this stripe, there's this dissension going on, these kinds of things still operating. It's basically our carnality. You know, they fail to admit they have a problem. And that's where honesty comes in, beloved. I'm only sharing this because it is scriptural and because I've gone there myself to admit that I have been in error. And that's where the joy of freedom begins. You know, I really do have this weakness. We have to be willing to admit that. Or I really do act this way or talk that way. Or my temper really is like that. And a host of other ills. It isn't negative or wrong to see and admit the areas of need in your life. Where it is wrong is when one refuses to work on those areas that have to change, that are being illuminated by the Holy Spirit to you. You can never change your circumstances unless and until you are willing to change yourself through the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, my time has flown, and we'll continue on tomorrow. And believe God that these moments now in your life can be a big change. I'm excited because I believe once we're willing to team up with the Spirit of Truth, that there's no limitation, there's no boundary to where we can go in God. He has a plan for your life, beloved. And if you're not too sure what that plan is, well, then I invite you to write. The announcer will share our contact information. Should you email, I do ask that you would share your mailing address so that I can respond at greater length. I always pray, always confirm receipt, but because of time constraints, I cannot spend a lot of time on email. So I love you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.